the whole psalm, Psalm 36, and then we will go into the study of the first four verses. Psalm 36. To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evil doers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. Psalm 36 is attributed to David, the servant of the Lord. And the title in verse 1 tells us, to the choir master, Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Now in Psalm 35 in verse 27, we read, Psalm 35 verse 27, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Who delights in the welfare of his servant. Our God delights in the welfare of his servants. Every child of God bought by the blood of Jesus Christ is called to serve God. And our life is very precious to him. In fact, the scripture tells us our death is precious to him. In Psalm 116 verse 15 it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 72 verse 14, from oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Abigail tells David in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 29, if men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. Again, the book of Job chapter 5 verse 26 we read, you shall come to your grave in ripe old age, like a sheaf gathered up in its season. So God preserves the lives of his servants. Moses died at a ripe old age of 120. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34 verses 5 to 7 we read, Deuteronomy 34 verses 5 to 7, so Moses the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. Joshua died at the age of 110. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 29. Joshua 24, 29. After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Heathen kings have learned how God protects and preserves the lives of his servants. When Daniel was thrown into the den of the lions, the king saw how the God of Daniel protected him. In Daniel chapter 6 verses 19 and 20 we read, "Then at break of day the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions." The king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And then in verse 21 and 22 in the same chapter we read, "Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." In the book of Titus chapter 1 verse 1, the apostle Paul writes to Titus, Titus chapter 1 verse 1, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness." You see there, a servant of God for the sake of the faith of God's elect. So the Lord preserves the lives of his servants until the work he has entrusted them with on this earth is completed. Yes, of course, some of his servants are martyred like Stephen, but none of them die without fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. None of them die without fulfilling God's purpose for their lives on earth. Until that is completed, they live and they do the work of God. God will also avenge the death of his servants. God will avenge the death of his servants. In 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 7 it says, "And you shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, so that I may avenge on Jezebel the blood of my servants, the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord." Again we read in Revelation chapter 6 verses 9 and 10, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" But this vengeance, this judgment belongs to the Lord. We must never take vengeance into our hands. In the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 19 we read, Romans 12 and verse 19, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." Now in verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 36, David pondered the reality of evil in this world. Evil is very real. And looking around us today, we see so much of evil. David also pondered. He pondered the reality of this evil when he saw what was going on around him. Then we find in verses 5 to 9, David praised God's character. He sees evil around him, but he's praising God's character. Then David prayed that God would protect him from evil and eventually judge the wicked. You see, David solves this perplexing problem of evil, which all of us see all around us. David solves this perplexing problem of evil in this world by being a worshiper, not a philosopher. When we see so much of evil around us and this evil being propagated, we can easily get depressed and we can lose hope if you're not careful. So the antidote to this kind of depression is to become a worshiper like David. And David knew this by experience. David took personal responsibility to obey God and to serve God. The Lord Jesus has called us to be the salt and the light of the world. We are His. We are saved by grace through faith, for good works that he foreordained before the foundation of the world was laid for us to walk in. So we are called to be the light and the salt of the world. If there would be more salt and light in this world, there would be less decay and darkness in society today. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 we read, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Again, Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 to 16. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now this psalm gives us, number one, revelation. Revelation regarding the corruption of the human heart. We see that in verses 1 to 4. Then the psalm gives us the importance of adoration, to praise and worship God, to become worshippers. We adore the character of God's heart. We understand who God is, His character, and we adore Him. Verses 5 to 9. Number 3, the psalm gives us expectation. The confidence of the believer's heart. Verses 10 to 12. Now we'll just look at verses 1 to 4 for now. Psalm 36 verses 1 to 4. To the choir master, Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. So we have here in verses 1 to 4, revelation. Revelation regarding the corruption of the human heart. The revelation in these verses is that transgression is speaking an oracle deep in the heart of the sinner. That is the revelation. Transgression is speaking an oracle deep in the heart of the sinner. Now in the Bible, an oracle is usually an authoritative pronouncement from the Lord. But here we find it is transgression, it is sin that is speaking an oracle deep in the heart of the sinner. Transgression is speaking an oracle deep in the heart of the sinner. Psalm 36 verse 1. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart, and there is no fear of God before his eyes. Now in Psalm 10, the psalm we have already studied, in Psalm 10, the sinner talks to himself. And what is he saying in Psalm 10 verses 6 to 7? He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. Now where does this voice come from? Obviously this does not come from God. It comes from the devil. John 8 verse 44. You are of your father the devil. So this voice comes from the devil. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of lies. Sin deceives. The voice of the devil is the voice of deception. It is a lying voice. Romans chapter 7 verse 11. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. Jesus exposes the devil by saying in John chapter 10 verse 10 we read, Jesus is exposing the devil, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That is the sole purpose that the enemy has, to steal and to kill and to destroy. Sin flatters. The voice of the devil is the voice of flattery. Psalm 36 verse 2. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. Psalm 10 verse 3. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. So the voice of the devil is a voice of flattery. In Deuteronomy chapter 29 verses 18 to 19. Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord. Whose heart is turning away today from the Lord, our God, to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. The devil flatters us, giving us the false assurances that our rebellion will go unpunished. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We must beware of these cunning schemes of the enemy. In the book of Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, the devil tries to get our thoughts. He wants us to think the thoughts that he puts into our minds. That's why he says here, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. The world system tells us, listen to your heart. But the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's why we need a new heart. The heart that listens to the voice of God. The sinner's self-confidence and arrogance brings tragic consequences. We said earlier that in Psalm 10, the sinner speaks to himself. But in Psalm 36, transgression is speaking an oracle to the sinner. Psalm 36 verse 1, transgression speaks to the wicked. Deep in his heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. You see, there is an absence of the fear of God. The Hebrew word for fear that is used here in Psalm 36 verse 1, the Hebrew word for fear that is used here is pakad. Now this word pakad is not the Hebrew word for reverential fear or respect for God. That's another word. We'll come to that. That fear every believer should have, reverential fear. This fear here in Psalm 36 and verse 1, it means the dread of God and his judgments. Now Paul quotes this verse in Romans chapter 3 verse 18. He quotes this verse along with the other Old Testament statements that reveal the wickedness of the human heart. Paul quotes in Romans chapter 3 verse 18. He quotes this verse also. Romans 3 verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, when we do not fear God, we flatter ourselves. And that flattery gives us more confidence to sin. We don't really see ourselves as the Lord sees us. And we are blind to our own sins. We are blind to what those sins can do to us. Now the word for reverential fear of God in Hebrew, that word is yore, yore. Psalm 34 verse 9, oh fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. That is yore. Psalm 111 verse 10, reverential fear of God. Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Joshua chapter 24 verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Coming back to the Hebrew word pakad, we said that this fear means the dread of God and his judgments. Now people who lack this fear flatter themselves, and that flattery gives them more confidence to sin. And such a person does not see himself or herself as the Lord sees them, and they are blind to their own sins and what those sins can actually do to them. And this kind of person does not hate sin. He does not despise sin. He does not reject sin. Because he has no pakad. He has no dread of God and his judgments. Psalm 36 verse 2. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. You see that? He flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. In Psalm 36 verse 4 we read, he plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Now when people lose the fear of God, they start to lose everything that is important to good character and conduct. Their conscience is blurred. Out of a sinful heart come sinful words and sinful deeds. Psalm 36 verse 3. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. In Matthew chapter 12 verses 34 to 35, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 12 verses 34 to 35, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So instead of acting wisely, they are determined to do evil. Psalm 36 verse 4. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. You see, you and I, we are called to meditate on God's truth while in bed. Psalm 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 16 verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. The best way to go to sleep is to read your Bible before you sleep. Spend time reading the word of God before you go to sleep also. Not only in the morning, but at night also. Psalm 42 verse 8. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Psalm 63 and verse 6. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. So what you read goes into your mind even when you're sleeping. You'll be meditating on God's word. And meditate on you in the watches of the night. But those who do not fear the Lord, they devise evil schemes while in bed. They cannot relax. They cannot go to sleep until they've hatched a new plot. Micah chapter 2 verse 1. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in the power of their hand. You see, the corrupt heart has produced a defiled conscience, a confused mind, and a perverted will. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have eternal life, they need not fear the wicked. The wicked will fall because of their own sin. Remember, sin is its own executioner. We must never settle for what the world, the flesh, and the devil have to offer. When we trust the Lord Jesus and we live in fellowship and intimacy with him, we have all that we need for life and service. So, what must we do? Like David, the antidote to all of this evil that we see around us, what must we do? We must become worshippers. So become a true worshipper. That's the antidote. That's the antidote to the voice of the devil. When you were saved, you were born again, complete in Christ. When the Holy Spirit came into your life, he came to give you fullness of life in Jesus Christ. Psalm 36 tells us that when we walk with the Lord, verse 7 actually, when we walk with the Lord and seek to serve him, we have his protection. Psalm 36 verse 7. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. We'll study these verses in detail later on. I just want to mention this. When we walk with the Lord, when we are true worshippers and we have fellowship and intimacy with God and we seek to serve him, what happens is God gives us his protection. David is talking about the tabernacle in Psalm 36 verse 7. He's talking about the tabernacle, about the wings of the cherubim in the Holy of Holies over the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. The safest place to be is under his shadow. When we live in the Holy of Holies, in fellowship with God, in communion with him, under his wings, we have his protection. That's why it says in Psalm 91 verses 1 to 4, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. So get close to the heart of God. Listen to his voice. Become a true worshiper, and you will experience God's hand of protection and provision. Oh, the Lord has so much to bless us with. In verse 8 in Psalm 36, David changes the picture. David tells us that we have God's satisfaction. Psalm 36 verse 8. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. Our Lord not only protects us, but also provides for us, and he satisfies us. You see, a river constantly flows, but yet it is always the same. God is always the same, yet he constantly wants to bring new blessing upon blessing into our lives. A river is known for its power and abundance. So is God. Psalm 36 verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. The Holy Spirit living in us is the fountain of living water within us. The children sang that beautiful song, Living Water. They sang in the beginning, right in the beginning, first song they sang, Living Water. The Holy Spirit living in us. He is the fountain of living water within us. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, in John chapter 4 verses 13 to 14, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's actually pointing to that well. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In John 7, 37 to 39, he explains what this spring of living water is. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Today, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit living in us because we are born again. But the Holy Spirit must have us. So we must constantly seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Actually, the tense there is continuous present tense. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we walk in step with God by His Spirit, and we are in communion with Him through His Word, we experience this abundant life which Jesus promised. In John 10 verse 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We also receive guidance from God. Psalm 36 verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. The Holy Spirit of God teaches us God's word. John 14 verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 27 we read, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So what more do we need? In Jesus Christ our Lord, we have all that we need. He divinely provides for us. He protects us. He satisfies us. He guides us. So live to please God in holiness and serve Him and worship Him. Trust yourself to God's care and rest under the shadow of His wings. Psalm 147 verses 10 to 11. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor His pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love. Let's bow our heads in prayer.